You guys can all start turning to John chapter 12 this morning. I'll say, lately, God has been showing me that there's something about letting go of things. Letting go of material things, letting go of thoughts, arguments. Whatever it is, the more that we focus on that and don't let it go, the less we focus on God. So much of what God gives us is not actually for ourselves anyway. Sometimes we hinder what God has planned for us when we try to keep it. When we ignore or we don't recognize how God wanted us to use it. If we try to use it in a way that it wasn't intended to be used, we find out how much more difficult it is. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm the king of using the wrong tool for the job. To me, the best tool to use, or the most likely tool that I'm going to use, is the one that's either in my hand or closest to me. Yes, I could have walked out to the shop to grab the right one, specialty tool that's one that's specifically made for what I'm doing, but I try to save a little bit of time, try to take a shortcut, even though sometimes it ends up taking me more time because it just makes it that much harder. But God puts things in our hands for a time and a purpose and a plan that He wants to accomplish. He wants us to do something with what He gives us. He's trusting us to use it the way He's looking for it to be used. And we will know how it is that He wants us to use it because of that relationship that He has for us. He's wanting us to be obedient and listen to Him. He's wanting us to look past ourselves. He's wanting us to look at it through His eyes, to see it with purpose, to see it with love. He wants us to partake and do what He's calling us to do. God does great things with seemingly nothing. He takes and He changes things. He repurposes things. He replants things. He sprouts the new things. We're going to be looking at John chapter 12, starting in verse 20 this morning. And we're going to read through verse 26 here. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida at Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now we're going to be focusing in on verse 24 this morning, but you can see the true context of reading what we just read before and after the verse that we're looking at. See, we see that this verse that we're going to be talking about is a response to some Gentiles, some Greeks who are seeking Jesus. This was in the final week of Jesus' life, likely just a few days after the triumphal entry. These Greeks, they were looking to worship with the Jews. They were seeking God and recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah. They realize and recognize the importance of Jesus' ministry. You know, Jesus had repeatedly told them that He was there for the Jews to start with, that He came for the nation of Israel, but they were actually the ones that were rejecting Him. Matthew 10 and verse 5, These twelve Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even though Jesus was focusing on those in Israel first, the time was coming that a shift would be happening. God had transformed Israel as a nation to be set apart and different from the rest. They were God's chosen people. But God loves all of creation. It was time to start pivoting to include the Gentiles, those who weren't born into the nation of Israel. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." God loves each and every one of us. It doesn't matter where we started, He desires for all of us to come to Him. Perhaps you might remember the story of a Gentile woman seeking deliverance for her demon-possessed daughter. Matthew 15:24, "But He answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, this lady, it's the one that had enough faith to compare herself to a dog eating crumbs from her master's table. She was willing to be fed by even the smallest amount. You know, I remember our last dog. I don't think the crumbs ever actually hit the ground when they would fall from our table. But you can draw from that. You know, he was wanting it. He was desiring it. He was excited about anything he could get. Can you guys relate? I know I can. And that's the thing about truly understanding the desire of this relationship with God. He wants us to desire Him. He wants us to say, "This is what I want. I'm not just satisfied with this. I want even the smallest portion of what might fall from the Master." There's a full portion for us, though, that He has for it. God gives each of us free will, though. It's our choice to accept Him or not. It's our choice to seek Him or not. It's not up to our parents. It's not up to our spouses. It's not the family's choice. It's our individual choice. Because He's made it accessible to us. This whole passage we're reading in John 12, it starts with some Gentiles, some non-Jews. It starts with them looking for Jesus, speaking to spend time with Jesus. They had asked Philip to see Jesus. Now, the thing about the word "see" used here in verse 12, John 12, is that it means to physically see Him, yes, but it's much more than that as well. One of the things about when the Greek was translated to English, that some of these words are hard to describe the full intent behind the meaning that was used. The word "see" here that they use was the Greek word horeo. It can also mean to see with the mind, to perceive or know. It can mean to see and become acquainted with by experience or to experience. So these Gentiles, they were not just looking to see Jesus physically. They were looking to experience Jesus. They were looking to see, to fully taste. You know, the Psalms tell us to taste and see that the Lord is good. They were truly looking to get the fullness out of what God had for them. They were wanting that intimate, becoming acquainted with Him. So then you can look at Philip's response to this request. Philip knew that this was a little bit outside of the norm for what Jesus had been doing. Jesus had said plenty of times that he had came primarily for the lost sheep of Israel. He knew that it may not be what was expected. But I think he also recognized that Jesus' response was not what he would expect sometimes. That sometimes what the disciples were thinking or wanting did not line up to what Jesus was saying. He oftentimes had a strong response, but he knew that this might be something that Jesus would do. But at the same time, maybe it wasn't. So he did something smart here. He sought counsel. He asked Andrew. Now, Andrew was somebody that Philip was close with. They were both from the same region. I believe one of the Gospels said that they were fishing partners even. But it was somebody that he had relationship with. Somebody that he trusted his judgment on as well. And I can just imagine what Philip's and Andrew's conversation was like. Neither one probably wanted to be the one to ask Jesus this. Andrew, you ask Jesus then. No, Philip, they asked you. You go ask them. So they asked them together. And Jesus' response was that now the hour had come for the Son of Man to be glorified. His response was basically, it's time. It's time. See, before Jesus had told him that the hour had not yet come. But now he's saying, yeah, it's time to take the salvation to everyone. It would now be available for the Gentiles as well. This was truly a divine appointment that he had planned. God was showing his love to those who were not originally called as his people. One of the worst things that we do as Christians is try to figure out who is worthy of receiving God's grace and who's not. Who we think would be capable of receiving it, who would want to receive it. Truth is, everyone deserves his mercy. Truth is, everybody deserves his grace. But Pastor John, I don't think that way. We may not say it directly, but we can get in the mindset of unforgiveness. Or start thinking that somebody always acts that way. Thinking that somebody will never change. You know, the words always and never are really strong words. God can do the impossible. Actually, that's not true. Because impossible isn't even in God's vocabulary. Impossible doesn't exist. If we say something's impossible, then we negate the power of God. My God is capable of anything. He can heal bodies. He can restore relationships. He can turn lives around. If he did it for me, he can do it for anyone. No one's too far gone that they don't deserve the love of God. Jesus paid the price for the person that's wronged you. He died for the one that's the hardest for you to love. He said that they are worth it too. He says, I love them. We're getting to John 12:24 here. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The response about letting a seed go into the ground and die was a response to the Gentiles receiving Christ. You know, Jesus was speaking metaphorically about his need to die and go in the ground and become resurrected in order to produce more. But I believe he was also talking to the idea that salvation that he was bringing was only for the Gentiles, that it had to die. You know, seeds only grow if you let them die. It's amazing when you start thinking about it. I'll say, I know some of you guys do this too, but Ashley and I have a garden. Well, I should say that we try to have a garden. It rarely turns out the way that we want it to. We've tried to grow vegetables, but really there's only usually one thing that we get to grow good. Pumpkins. Pumpkins. For whatever reason, we can grow pumpkins anywhere. We've had them start growing without even trying. Underneath the chicken coop, we had pumpkins start growing the 1 year. In the garden, we just tilled the ground and pumpkins started growing the 1 year. I've seen them grow in our burn pile after we lit it. Be driving around bush hogging and look over, there's a big old pumpkin sticking out. No clue how it survived, but it did. So we've just pretty much embraced that and started growing pumpkins. I've tried for a few other things. I got a couple of radishes this year, and that's about it. But so last year, we had a couple of pumpkins that Ashley really liked. So we decided, okay, we'll try to grow those next year. We took and we cut the pumpkins open. We took all the seeds out, spread them out, got all that gooey stuff off, let them dry out, took them down to the basement, stored them in a nice, cool place. But, you know, that seed, it can stay as a seed for quite a while. I can carry that seed around. I could have brought one here today, and it's still a seed. But it wasn't until we put the seeds in the ground that they changed. I'll say those seeds are just that big, but it's hard to imagine they turn into so much bigger and turn into a big plant. But they have to see the right conditions for that seed to start growing. There's life in that seed. And the seed has to die in order to have that life come forth. Because once that seed dies, it's no longer a seed. It bursts forth, cracking the seed open. The plant sprouts, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And it grows and it spreads everywhere. It latches onto the corn stalks we tried to plant. It grows up the fence that we try to put up to keep the deer out of the main garden. But the seed is no longer a seed. It's a living plant. It buds and it makes flowers and pumpkins start growing. And here's part of the beauty of the seeds as well. That single seed created so much more than itself. The seed's not producing seeds. The seed's reproducing so much more. That plant, it has multiple pumpkins growing on it. And each pumpkin has many seeds within it. Around 500 seeds per pumpkin. See, that's the importance of planting seeds. When you consider a seed, there's something far greater than what it appears. But you have to be willing to let go of having that seed before it will ever produce anything at all. Once the seed gave up being a seed, it became that great plant. As long as we hold on to that seed too tightly, we can't release the full potential that it has. The disciples, they would have liked to have hung on to Jesus on this earth. They didn't want Jesus to leave. Jesus told them repeatedly that he was going to die, and on the third day he would be resurrected. But they struggled to embrace that. Jesus was comforted with the disciples telling them the reason that he must go, and how much better it is for him to leave, because it'll produce so much more. in John 16 and verse 7. John 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I'm so thankful that God did it the way that he did it. You know, Jesus had to travel to get to people. People had to travel in order to get to Jesus. And then there were lines that they had to wait in to even see Jesus just one time. But because Jesus died and rose again, we have access to him all the time. We have Holy Spirit all the time. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to travel to see Jesus. He's there no matter what or when or where we cry out to him. Much like the disciples, we have seeds that we have to let go of. We're all called to be sowers, but you have to plant the seed and let it grow. We have to be willing to give it up and let it go into the ground and die, so that it might spring forth and create what it is meant. There are things in our past that were there that something happened before because it grew. We were able to take that and plant it and start the next chapter of our lives. There might have been financial seeds that we planted and grew, and they changed and shaped our lives. There could have been mentoring and encouraging seeds that shaped what we do now. It could be that there were things that we were trained for a period and equipped us for other times in what we were doing. Even new life here has changed over the years. Seeds that were sown then are still reproducing in this time. Some things were there for a season. New Life Academy was for a season. Programs were for a season. Aside from God, everything is for a season. But there were decisions along the way that something had to die in order for something new to spring forth. You know, we were just, I heard a couple of times this morning, actually, the Civic Center already. And at one point, New Life met at the Civic Center here in town before they bought this building that we're in now. But if everyone clung to the location of that Civic Center and where it was located at, we wouldn't be where we are now, in a 12,000 square foot facility that's 100% paid for. I'm sure there was a lot of prayer and consideration that happened before that happened. We're a rural church. Yes, we have US 31 right there. Town is almost literally a stone's throw away. But it's a rural church because we're not located in the city. These are all things that actually helped form seeds that were planted that you had to let go before something else sprang forth. It's what shaped our congregation today. It allowed new growth to come and new life to form, and more seeds to come forth as well. Jesus was telling the disciples that the seed metaphor was not just for him, but for all of us. In John 12:25, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If we love our life so much, we end up losing it. We keep it for ourselves, and it ends with ourselves. There's nothing that's everlasting about it. It doesn't sprout seeds and grow more. It doesn't reproduce. So much of the talk of the kingdom of God is about reproducing and passing things on for the next generation, and in turn, them passing it on to their next generation. It's not meant to be held on to so tightly that it never goes anywhere. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're given eternal life to give it out and share it with those around us, to pass it on. We unlock strongholds when we release it from us and give it away. Sometimes those strongholds aren't stuff that's holding on to us, but stuff that we're holding on to too tightly ourselves. You know, God's been showing us lately over and over, it seems like, there truly is no greater love than to lay down our lives for one another. God has the victory. God is the one that's already defeated the enemy. He's shown us the power over sin and the grave. But he wants us to be radically obedient people for his glory. Jesus tells the disciples that if we want to serve him, if we want to follow him, anywhere that he goes, we should go also. Because when we're following him, he's the one directing our route. He creates those divine appointments. The word serve that Jesus uses here, I know I look at the Greek often, it seems like, but there's something special that God wants to show us here. The word serve here, it means much more than just serve. You see, there were two kinds of servants. There were those who served as a part of the bigger picture, those who served at a distance, and those who were the personal servants of the Lord. Jesus was talking about those personal servants here. The ones that he is close to. That's the kind of relationship that he wants with us. For us to be his personal servants. And just like the way that the disciples were called to follow Jesus, he told them to come and see. He asked them to give up their old lives for a new one that he had planned. He continues to tell us that today. But the only way we can truly serve is to let go of our own desires. We can't be holding on to something so tightly that we can't give it over to God. We need to plant that seed and let it start to grow. We need to let that seed go so much that we trust God that he's going to be the one to give the growth. Be willing to let it go so that it might create much more than we anticipate. Some of you, God wants to start a new chapter in your lives today. Some of you, God's showing something that he wants you to let go of that seed. He's got something that he's going to do with it. So, personal question this morning, what seed are you holding on to? Whatever it is, God is greater than that seed. He wants us to let it die so that he can produce even more from it. God is a good God. He brings the increase. He multiplies. He turns that one seed into 100, 500, 5,000. He can do great things with it. But we have to release it first. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we repent for hanging on to any seed that you have wanted us to let it die and grow and be planted. Lord, reveal that to us today. Lord, we know that this is a divine word that you have for us. Lord, we know that this is something that you are telling us specifically, God. So have your way this morning. Lord, whatever it is, help us recognize it and release it to you. Lord, we're sorry for trying to carry it. We're sorry for trying to hold on to it, for not doing what you have told us to do with it, God. Lord, we release what you have planned. We want what you want, God. Lord, we pray for the kingdom. Lord, we seek the kingdom and what you are seeking, God. Do what you've always wanted to do. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in our lives. Direct our paths. Lord, help us recognize you to where we walk right there in your footsteps. We thank you for what you're doing, God. Have your way in us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.